So one other issue about Hodgkin lymphoma I'd like to query you about relates to checkpoint inhibitors. I'd like to know kind of in general where you're utilizing these agents and what your experience has been in terms of the clinical benefit and risk.
Yeah, I have to say that is another extremely exciting development in the world of Hodgkin lymphoma. So there are two drugs that we have the most data on right now, and that's pembrolizumab and nivolumab, so both PD-1 inhibitors. And the data right now really has explored their use in patients with multiply relapsed Hodgkin lymphoma. So mainly patients who have already gone through all of the standard therapies and nonetheless had their lymphoma recur. So patients who, in all intents and purposes, we would consider to no longer have any curative options. And what we've seen is remarkably high overall response rates, so ranging from 65% to 80% with those drugs, and many of them have been very durable and providing patients with years of benefit. And again, it's early days in terms of the results we have from that data as well, but at the time of last reporting, there are many patients who remained in durable remission with no sign of disease. So I think we do question whether or not that might have some long-term impact and even offer some patients a chance of cure, but that's really speculative. Right now, we know that it offers a very effective palliative approach for patients who no longer have cured options for Hodgkin lymphoma. So, given the real benefit we're seeing with those drugs, it does beg the question, should they be moved earlier? So, right now, they're primarily approved and indicated for relapsed refractory Hodgkin lymphoma. So, in my own clinic, I'm using them once patients have relapsed following all of our standard therapies when I no longer have kind of a curative option. For patients, for example, who fail autologous stem cell transplant, my next drug would probably be brentuximab vedotin if they haven't already had it or failed it in maintenance. Mainly, I guess, because that drug was out first, but we also have some suggestion from the initial pivotal trial that was done with brentuximab vedotin that there is a proportion of patients that sustained ongoing long-term control, suggesting that it might offer cure for some patients who have failed stem cell transplant. And so probably I would use it in patients who are no longer benefiting from brentuximab vedotin. But it does, as I say, beg the question where it really should fit in. And of course, clinical trials are being designed to bring it in earlier, either in part of the salvage regimen as maintenance therapy post-transplant, and ultimately into the frontline treatment.